Hi, I'm Matt Martin, General Manager here at KALW, and that is the sound of Count Basie's band performing the 920 special, which people were hearing on their radios in the summer of 1941, when a group of San Francisco public school teachers and students were working on putting this station on the air. The first regular broadcast on KALW happened on September 1st, 1941, a week from tomorrow, 75 years ago. Cross Currents, usually heard at this time, will be back tomorrow, but in this hour, I'll be giving you my perspective about where local public radio is at 75, our legacy, what's exciting me now, what we've got cooking for the future, and some of the challenges we face as we keep working to make KALW a greater and more sustainable resource for the community. This is all about being connected to listeners. That's why I do these reports, and that is why I think it's so important to inform you about what's happening at the station and to get your feedback. Later in the hour, I'll be taking your calls, your questions, your emails. I'm very interested, for those of you who have been listening for a while, who to know what connected you to KALW to begin with, who are the people and programs who make you feel like this is your station. And if you're someone who is relatively new to the KALW community and you want to talk about what the station means to you, of course I'd welcome that. We really want to know what you have valued in KALW's first 75 years, whether you've been listening for, 35 years or 35 days, and to hear what you think we should focus on for the future. In addition to all that, you can just talk to me about programming or anything else related to what you hear on KALW. If you have an idea or a question you want to get in right now, it's probably best to drop me an email, matt@kalw.org. That's matt@kalw.org, and then we'll be opening the phone lines a little bit later. First, I want to make a few programming notes. I want to let folks know that we are this year's broadcast partner for the Cabrillo Festival of Contemporary Music, which happened in Santa Cruz a little earlier in August. And there have been two of the programs in the series of four so far, hosted by Sarah Cahill of Revolutions Per Minute. These have been really wonderful programs. It's a kind of special year in the history of Cabrillo because Maren Alsop, who's been the music director and the director of the orchestra there for 25 years, is stepping down after this year, so it's a bit emotional, and I think it's added something to the performances. If you want to catch the last two programs, you want to tune in this upcoming Sunday at 8 o'clock and the following Monday at 9 p.m. We are not able to archive these programs, so you do need to listen when they're on the air. You can either stream it or listen at 91.7 FM. All the details are at KALW. Also, if you have taken a look as a voter at the sheer number of state and local ballot measures, you recognize that we are all going to need a lot of education and dialogue to be prepared for November. And that is why we are ramping up our reporting on the issues and the candidates that you're going to have to make decisions about. This week, KALW News launched its community reporting project with a focus on the elections. The community reporting project is about tapping into the knowledge of listeners to inform our reporting. And as we shape our election coverage, we want to hear about what matters to you and about the issues and candidates you actually have information about that you would like to share with us. There is a simple online survey that went live today at KALW.org. If you go there, you'll see an I voted button. Click on the I voted button on the front page of KALW.org, and it will take you to that survey. Also, related to the election, tomorrow Your Call is starting a special series on democracy at the state and local level. Rose Aguilar is going to be hosting a second hour of Your Call every Thursday at 11 a.m. from now until the election. And tomorrow the focus is going to be on the bewildering San Francisco ballot. Two dozen local measures on there, ranging from everything from the soda tax to non-citizen voting, all kinds of issues on there, affordable housing. So tomorrow is a place where you can start building your own knowledge and ask your questions about what's on the ballot. Tune in at 11 a.m. And as I say, this series is going to run through Election Day, so you can send your ideas for what Rose and her team should focus on to feedback@yourcallradio.org. I know they are interested in your ideas as they shape what they're going to be doing. Speaking of Rose Aguilar, this month marks 10 years that Rose has been hosting Your Call on KALW. And on Monday, Rose is going to be hosting one of her occasional programs where she asks listeners what they want from Your Call. And at the end of the show, she's also going to be closing with some reflections on her decade hosting the program. And she made it clear she doesn't want that show to be a lot of, "Oh, Rose, I love your work." But I certainly value the work that she has done for the program, and I know that lots of listeners do. So if you have a mind to send her an email expressing some appreciation, rose@yourcallradio.org. I know she'd appreciate it, even though that's not what she wants Monday to be all about. But 10 years, pretty remarkable. And finally, a thank you to all the listeners who came out for our 75th anniversary concert at the Norris Auditorium a little earlier this month. It was a great night of community, and the music was just amazing. Both Bruce Cockburn and the Kronos Quartet really left it all out there. I mean, Bruce's performance was quite intense, and then I was like, Kronos, they tore the roof off it. So I want to thank them as well as Joanne Marr and Dori Stein, whose longstanding relationships with Kronos and Bruce helped us make that happen, and to Joe Burke, who came out and helped make the night a little more festive. We are hoping to be able to broadcast that concert as part of our upcoming membership campaign. Still waiting for some clearances for broadcast, so stay tuned to find out if we're going to be able to do that. So those are notes about programming and other items. I want to talk a little bit now just about what I see as kind of where KALW is 75 years on, and kind of what the challenges are ahead of us, what the opportunities are. There has been a lot of change, obviously, since 1941, whether it's in radio and media, certainly here at KALW. I'm sure that the teachers who put this on the air, Kenneth Dragoo and Ken Nielsen, there'd be a lot they would not recognize. Although, boy, when I look at our microphones, Joanne, I think there might be a few things they would recognize here in our studios. But they're you know, in terms of what the programming is, there's a lot of difference. Obviously, there was no public radio at that time, no NPR, and not many stations doing what KALW is doing now. However, there are some really important continuities that I think connect what they were endeavoring to do then and what we are doing now. Most fundamentally is our licensee, the San Francisco Unified School District, which began the station in 1941 and has maintained it since. And although we have not received cash support from the SFUSD for nearly 25 years, the district continues to provide a lot of important in-kind support, not least our location on the campus of Burton High. And I want to say two things. Number one, the school board has shown a real understanding that just because the station is licensed to the school district, that doesn't mean that the school board should decide what is on the station. And that is a rare understanding. I know stations that are licensed to other school boards, other educational institutions, where that sense of an editorial firewall is not in place. So that is something really to value about our school district and about our school board. Also, I will say, when the chips have been down for the station, whether it's come to when there was a challenge to the station's license, or when we'd run through our cash reserve and we're starting to cut into the district's budget, they continue to be committed to the station and make sure that we stayed afloat. So that's certainly something we ought to recognize. And the training and development of new talents that were built into the station from the beginning, because it was at Samuel Gompers Trade School that at that time was in the Mission. Training was always part of what was happening there. Within months of being on the air, they were training radio operators for World War II and some of the country's first women broadcast engineers. And that work continues here. As a matter of fact, right now we are building around training and development of new talent here at KALW. Our Audio Academy, now in its fourth year, has really shown that we can both focus on developing new talents, giving people from the community new skills around journalism and audio production, and at the same time, that will turn around and benefit the community. And so the Audio Academy is very strong. This summer, we had three interns, high school interns, within the news department who also produced pieces which ran on Cross Currents in recent weeks. So we continue to make training and development of new talents part of what we do, and I think the connection to the school district keeps that first and foremost for us. Also, this is a station that has a tradition of innovation, if that's not an oxymoron. You know, right now we think of FM and radio as kind of legacy media, you know, just a generation or two after newspapers. But in 1941, this was cutting-edge technology. And when they brought it on the air, many people could not hear it, although we have some really crazy letters. There was so little FM broadcasting going on at that time that there were people in places like Pennsylvania and Nova Scotia who could hear KALW when it was on the air in the 1940s. So that's kind of wild, but it just gives you a sense it was something for kind of radio enthusiasts rather than the kind of regular listeners. That obviously has changed. but the station continued to develop, you know, being one of the early adopters of NPR and the BBC World Service in the early 70s, and being a place where new public radio programs could have their first airings in the Bay Area to reach a really important audience. Fresh Air, Le Show, The Moth, As It Happens, Alt Latino, Bullseye, Snap Judgment, Sound Opinions, Day 6. The list could really go on of shows where this station said, oh, we think that's something valuable, something exciting, something new in public radio. We want to help it reach an audience. Finally, I think that most important to the continuity of this station is the fact that we have stayed non-commercial and we have remained close to the community. I really am committed to this station not being about serving listeners, and not about selling them to advertisers. And that is something I think that has been something that when I came to this station, it was very clear that that was the attitude of management when I came here to work as a producer, and that has continued to guide what we do in our work. And then the other part of it, being close to the community, I feel like the important thing is, of course, we look for ways to serve the community, to inform, to educate, to be part of a positive civic dialogue, to, you know, bring forward local artists and musicians, to do that stuff to support the creative and the civic life of the area. But I also think that what distinguishes KALW is our focus on collaborating with the community to make new things. And I mean, that can be, you know, as simple as our partnership with the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco that creates Bina, or the Other Minds Festival that gives you music from Other Minds. It can be working with the inmates at San Quentin who produce the San Quentin Prison Report. It can be collaborative reporting projects like Hey Area, which we recently launched a few months ago, where we get ideas from people in the community about what we should report on next. And then we cooperate with them in collecting information. And the result has been some really fascinating reporting. I don't know if you've heard the stories that KLW News has done about where the homeless tents in San Francisco came from, about why the San Rafael Bridge crosses it, what seems like an unusually wide part of the bay, given what you're trying to connect, or about airplane noise that is on the rise in the peninsula. These are the kind of stories that people brought forward to us and that we were able to follow up on. And this project is just getting started. And I'm glad to say this week there was actually an article in the Columbia Journalism Review that recognized what Hay Area is doing and put it at the center of their a piece that they did about collaborative community-based reporting. And there's a link to that at KALW.org. If you click on the manager's report link, you can see that there. But the idea is we keep looking for ways to not just say, hey, what can we give to you or do for you as listeners, but how can we work with you as fellow citizens and members of this community to create something valuable? And finally, when it comes to that community collaboration, a big part of it is just keeping our door open to some of the amazing people who are in the Bay Area, you know, whether that's, you know, a couple of crazy Stanford professors who decided they wanted to do car talk for philosophy, or whether it was, you know, the American Institute of Architecture being interested in doing a radio show about design. Those conversations ended up creating 99% Invisible. Or, you know, somebody like W. Kamau Bell, who wanted to bring different voices and some real conversation about things that matter to public radio, voices he didn't think were being represented. And he approached KALW because he thought this would be a place where he'd have the freedom to do what he was looking to do well. We have the kind of community where these ideas and these possibilities are right there. And at KALW, I think what we try to do is to remain open to them and say, how can we make something valuable for our listeners and for the community from those connections? So those, to me, are the continuities that connect the history to now. And of course, it's been through a lot of curves along the way. I'm seeing Joanne smiles. Like, those of us who've been around a little while, and Joanne's been around a little longer than I have seen the station go through a lot of phases. But I think there is a continuity there that we do need to value. And there's a reason why there are people who have been supporting the station for 30, 35 years. Right now, the station continues to be a very productive station. I mean, there's a reason why I was talking to Hana Ababa and Leela Day, two of our, Hana, you know, is the host of Cross Currents, Leela, a producer and reporter for Cross Currents as well. They're working on producing developing a new podcast that is about Black identity, and not just African-American identity, but also talking about Black immigrant identity and having a conversation around the connections and contrasts as that's experienced now. So they're working on this. They went to a meeting of potential podcast folks in Washington, D.C. at NPR, and one of the, they were talking to some folks there, and one of the things they heard, they go, oh, KALW, oh, that's the creative NPR station. That's what, like, that's the reputation. And I think that it is the fact that this place continues to incubate new projects, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what Hannah and Leela do in this project. But there's also, you know, the specialist that Casey Miner came out with earlier this year, the intersection, David Boyer's podcast about urban change, looking at one intersection at a time in the Bay Area, or The World According to Sound, which is a show that just kind of looks at like crazy and strange sounds and kind of gives you a chance to kind of get immersed in them, that that we're now broadcasting Friday mornings here on KALW. These are all programs that incubated here at KALW that had a chance to develop, to get feedback, to be supported, and to be critiqued so they could improve. That is what we are about at KALW, and why I feel like this is a very exciting time to be at the station, and I hope also to listen. So a very concrete response to the question, where are we at 75, would be we're in portable structures in the parking lot behind Burton High School. As folks know, we have been undergoing a renovation in our main space that started in January. The plan had been for it to end and us to move back in June. That has been changed a couple of times. We heard August, then October, and most recently we have been told that the estimate is January, although it has been clear that is an estimate. I am really, really itching to get back into that other space. And even though there's a lot of things that are not bad about the portables, to be honest, there's a lot more sunlight in the offices than there are in our main space. I'm most excited about it just because we are going to be able to make some improvements to that space that really mean that we can do more, produce more, we can have a better place to work, and really expand what we do, whether it's from having a good live music performance space to having additional places where reporters can do interviews. These kind of things really make a difference. And we work in a limited space. The station has grown a lot, so it means a great deal to be able to really think about how do we want to use that space better and make the most of it. And I want to thank the folks at the design firm Gensler, who have been doing pro bono work for us, helping us both hunt up free or cheap furniture that will be of much higher quality than what we've lived with before, and also to think about how we can organize our space more effectively, because given that we have a limited space, we want to make the most of that. I also want to thank listeners who have supported this station, because we are going to be there's a good number of the kind of basic costs, you know, when it comes to replacing the carpets, you know, repainting the walls, all of that kind of stuff, some electrical things, some other things that come from the bond that is renovating Burton High School. But when it comes to anything having to do with our broadcast infrastructure, all of that is being funded from KALW's own funds, and we are investing over $125,000 in those upgrades. And we are able to do that because listeners have given us support so that we have about $500,000 in reserve right now, so we can make that kind of expenditure without feeling like we're risking the future of the station in doing it. So if you are someone who has given to the station in these recent years and helped us be strong financially, I just really want to thank you, because I would hate for this opportunity to have come up with this renovation of the school and not to have been able to take the opportunity to really improve the station. So, I will also say one reason I'm a little disappointed that we are not back yet is that the plan had been this fall to have a bit of a birthday party at the station where we invite the folks who have helped make us better. Unfortunately, we can't go back into an unfinished space, but I assure you that in the new year there will be a belated birthday bash, and you'll get to see what your support of this station has made possible. Finally, I'm going to take a break here in a moment and invite your calls, invite your emails. Before I do that, I just want to just make a little bigger, I was talking about kind of this concrete answer to where are we now, but a bit of a bigger view. I was mentioning earlier that Rose Aguilar is marking 10 years on the air, and not coincidentally, I became manager here at the station a little over a month before Rose took on that job as host of Your Call. And so between the 75-year anniversary and my own 10-year mark as manager of KALW, you know, I've been taking account both of what we're accomplishing as a station and what I'm accomplishing or have failed to accomplish as a manager in this time. And I will say I am incredibly proud of what we are making happen at KALW and the relationship that we have with our listeners and with the community. I feel like we are true to the values that are at the core of public radio, and that there's a reason why a lot of talented and committed people give so much of themselves to the station. But I also know that this period of growth that started before I became manager and that has continued in the 10 years that I've been fortunate enough to have this job, I know that that growth hasn't always been even and hasn't always been sustainable. And after 10 years on, I kind of look at, you know, what am I good at leading and what do I need to get better at? When it comes to program development and community engagement and our relationship with the listeners, I feel pretty good about what I've been able to do in this position. But I know also that we are stretched thin in some important ways, specifically around our administration and development, around our engineering capacity, which, you know, with the amount of programming that we're producing now, these are very, very important areas to focus on and invest in. I know that that's important to do that, and not only so that, you know, our development director or our operations manager or me as general manager aren't doing, you know, four jobs instead of, you know, two, which would be reasonable. This is public radio. You got to do a lot. But it's because the fact that I'm stretched or Annette Bistrup, our development director, is trying to do five different things at once, those things mean we don't take care of our business as well as we could. And I want us to be able to do the most important things that we need to get done here at the station. And a lot of that is about taking time to be able to plan for the future and think strategically about what we want this station to be and how we want it to get there. And I just know that's where I need to spend more of my time. And it's kind of, you know, it's one of those chicken and egg things. You're caught in a lot of the excitement and the important things that have to be done in the moment, the creative excitement of making programming that people are responding to. And, you know, I certainly don't want to take our energies away from that. And we have a lot of great people here working on that. But I also do recognize being able to take that time to think longer term is really important. We did a strategic planning process this past year. And I know that I personally have not spent the time that I need to following through on those strategic priorities. And so as I mark my own anniversary as well as this incredible 75th year of KALW, that is definitely on my mind. I'm determined that however longer I have as manager of the station, that I'm going to leave this place stronger than I found it. And it's not going to be me. It's going to be a community effort. Certainly a lot of people here at the station do a lot of managing up and encouraging me to think in those terms. But I know it's also going to be about the energy and support that comes from the community. And so, speaking of the community, this is time where I invite you as listeners to call the program, to be part of this conversation. The number to call is 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. As I said, really would love to hear if you're someone who's been listening for a long time or has just kind of tuned in and kind of said, oh, KALW, that's part of my life. You know, what is it that you have valued in this first 75 years of KALW? And what do you want to see the station become? What do you want to see us focus on? What's most important to you? The number to call is 415-841-4134. Or I'm also happy to take emails, matt@kalw.org, matt@kalw.org. I'll be back with your calls and emails right after this break. I'm Matt Martin. This is the Manager's Report to the Listener here on KALW. Every few months, I take time to get on the air, talk to you about what's happening at the station, and more importantly, to hear from you, what you are hearing on the station, what's important to you, what you want to hear us do better or more of, or ideas you have that we need to know about that we haven't. We got a lot going on at the station. I want to get your perceptions. I want to get your ideas. The number to call, 415-841-4134. Happy to answer your questions about what you hear on the air. And also, I say, to hear your ideas, you can also email matt@kalw.org. Let's go to our first caller, Frank. Welcome to the Manager's Report.
Hi, I want to say that you're doing a great job, and it's with pleasure that I send you a check every year. So my question is a general question regarding podcasts. I assume that if somebody asks you, why are you spending money on podcasts, you'd say they're a public service. But my question is, why would a commercial radio station have podcasts? I noticed that some of the commercial stations have podcasts.
Well, there's probably two reasons. One is just I think that their basic idea is, I mean, I think all of us, but the idea is we want you to get to listen. We figure you're going to value, you know, it's like if you can't hear in the moment, you'll want to hear it later. And if they feel like they have something really good that wouldn't necessarily work on the air, but it might work as a podcast, they want to make that available to you. And the other part is they want to sell advertising. And they can do that in podcasts. It's very effective.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Thanks, Frank. And let's go next to our next caller, Francis. Francis, welcome to the show. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from Santa Cruz.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I listen to you online when I'm in Santa Cruz, but I'm up in the city a lot also, so I'm able to just turn you on and enjoy the wonderful mix of programming you have. One thing that's special for me is that you're able to broadcast the Cabrillo Contemporary Music Festival, which is something that used to be done here at radio station
KUSP.
Yep. Which recently filed for bankruptcy, which of course is very sad for the local community, because that really doesn't leave us with a community radio station in the Santa Cruz area. Again, it used to broadcast Cabrillo, and you know, it was the station that first gave the Kitchen Sisters a chance to broadcast and such. And I do like community radio very much. I just wonder about your thoughts about the demise of a public radio station, and the concern that airwave may be sold to the highest bidder. So it may no longer be community radio station. It may be church-based or commercial. And I guess I'll take your comments off air. Thank you.
Francis, thanks so much for calling. And if you'd like to join the Manager's Report, the number to call is 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. KUSP, it's a station I know best because we shared some programming with them. Your call was on KUSP for, honestly, I don't remember how many years, but several years. And so I worked with Terry Green and the folks down there when the station was on the air. I know some about the situation, and certainly part of the problem was that they ran up a lot of debt. And having done that and not really figuring out a way to make the station work financially, once you kind of get far enough in that hole, it's really difficult. I mean, I know that I've had people contact me and say, oh, hey, maybe KALW should try to purchase KUSP signal, or to try to have that be an extension of the station. And leaving aside just the logistics of trying to do something like that, the problem is, you know, I told you, our cash reserve is $500,000. The debt that at KUSP that I know about is around $700,000. So you can just see that trying to get into that, and especially it wasn't for lack of trying that KUSP didn't stay on the air. They tried a number of different things trying to make it work. Now, I understand there's a lot of controversy about whether or not they did the right things. But basically, it's sad. It's totally sad because Santa Cruz, I mean, yeah, I actually went down for a night at Cabrillo, and it's like, boy, this is a place that should have a community radio station, right? There's so much going on. So, it's Yeah, you hear that, and it's complete. It's awful, and especially because the KUSP, what was cool about it was like they actually made some original programming. Sure, they had some NPR and BBC, but they did a lot of original stuff, and Cabrillo was just part of it. So that's my quick response. Got a email here from Sylvia, who wrote to me at matt@kalw.org. She says, thanks for the report. As a native San Francisco gal, I became a teacher there in 63 through 66, and I'm proud that KALW broadcast the school board meetings and lunch menus. I originally turned into Your Call Radio when Laura Flanders hosted it. Hard to believe Rose Aguilar has been on for 10 years. She always has interesting guests, topics, and an excellent listener to callers and guests, keeping the programming lively, informative, and entertaining. She also says, I like Call a Lawyer Night. I like Fresh Air and glad you have the 9 a.m. and the 6 p.m. repeat. Miss Car Talk and now recently canceled What Do You Know? Michael Feldman out of Wisconsin, lively and fun to do Saturday chores with. Sylvia, thanks for more. And she's got a number of comments. Very cool taking time to write to me at matt@kalw.org. You're welcome to do that as well. This is the Manager's Report. Station's having its 75th birthday next Thursday. It's a big moment for us and for the community that has supported this station. And this does not always happen. You hear about a station like KUSP where for some reason, you know, they could not quite make it work. And to lose that voice on the air, fortunately, we are nowhere near that at KALW. And part of that is because when this station has been in a position where we need some support, this community has been here for it. So thank you to those folks. And I welcome you to give a call at 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. I want to share a post that came in on our Facebook page on KALW a few days ago. And just to get your thoughts about it, it's definitely gotten some conversation going here at the station. It's from a listener named Michael Patrick, and he says, I have loved and supported KALW with money and with my volunteer time since 1993. During the most recent pledge drive, I wrote a letter to the station manager saying I was pulling my support and curtailing my listening. This is to send a message to KALW and NPR that unless they find a way to fix or fire Jessica Hansen, I just can't listen anymore. And just as an aside, Jessica Hansen is the woman who reads the NPR fundraising credits. So when you hear that voice, who is never identified, but you probably recognize her from Morning Edition, All Things Considered, other places, that's Jessica Hansen. So he says, she is just plain annoying with her over-the-top performance. Clearly, this decision is with NPR, but there are ways around it. I'm now listening to KQED because they found that way of doing it. They've reduced the number of times Hansen assaults my ears by at least 50%. And fundamentally, what he's saying is, at KQED, the local hosts, on-air hosts, they read those underwriting credits rather than having the NPR voice do it. So we talked about it some here, and I don't have a closed mind about what to do about it. I can say that the reason that we haven't regularly done that first is to kind of make it clear what the underwriting is that is for NPR, and what is the underwriting that is from KALW. You know, we do a lot of sponsorships for local arts and community events. We do some partnerships with different community organizations, and that's the mass of what you hear that is in support of KALW. NPR, of course, does a lot broader range of stuff, including a lot of big corporate clients who we probably wouldn't work with if it was in our control. And so part of it has been about just dividing, like making it clear to listeners, here's what is NPR and here's what is KALW. And the other part is that, you know, in preparing a show like Morning Edition, there's a lot of breaks and there are a lot of underwriting spots. And it's been our idea that we'd rather have our local hosts be focused on thinking about something other than how to read underwriting credits for NPR well, to think about what they're putting into their breaks, what should go in the morning almanac, what local events to tell you about, things to connect you to the community and to the station. So that's been our thinking. But hey, I'm interested to hear what you have to say. Michael Patrick, you are not the only listener who said that they do not like the NPR underwriting voice. So I'd be interested to hear what folks have to say. The number to call, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. You can also write me, Matt matt@kalw.org. I got an email here from Vicky who says, I want to thank you with being engaged with KALW listeners. At one point, there was a question as to whether or not What Do You Know would remain on the air at KALW, and instead of making a unilateral decision, you reached out to listeners and asked them what they wanted. What Do You Know started as a community radio show in a diner. It grew to a syndicated show broadcast through Wisconsin Public Radio and was on the air for some 30-plus years. Recently, Wisconsin Public Radio decided to discontinue their support of What Do You Know. KALW carried the show to the end because that's what listeners asked for. Thank you for allowing listeners to make the choice. Thank you, Vicky. I mean, not every single programming decision can be like that one. But, you know, there certainly have been times and I'm like, well, this is a show that really has established itself with listeners. I may think it's time to move on, but let's hear what you have to say and how you feel about it. So, Vicky, I'm glad that worked for you. Let's go next to Lee, who's called in. Welcome to the Manager's Report, Lee.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for doing this. I always appreciate hearing your point of view. And I just wanted to say to that guy, Michael Patrick, that not listening to the station because you don't like that one little bit is like not going to a museum because you don't like one of the paintings. This is a great station. There's so much about it that annoys me, but it's just, it provides such a wonderful service.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much that I enjoy and benefit from. And I just wanted to give you that kudos.
Thank you. Well, I mean, just to speak on Michael Patrick's behalf, I suppose what he'd say is, he might say is, like, it's like I'm at the museum and that same painting kind of like comes up in front of me while I'm trying to look at something else. I mean, there might be, I'm just trying to figure out a metaphor that would work for that.
That's too bad. You're missing out on a lot of good stuff, Michael Patrick.
Well, I have no doubt that he listens sometimes perhaps outside of where Jessica Hansen's voice is. But thank you, Lee.
He's probably listening right now.
It could well be. Maybe we'll hear from him. Thank you so much, Lee. I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Take care. Next is Ray. Ray, welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
San Francisco.
Hey.
I listen about 20, 30 hours a week. And when I hear something on your NPR news feed that is factually incorrect, like they don't have the story right, what do I do? Can I call in to your station and bring it to your attention?
Yeah, I mean, you can call me. We have a station rep at NPR the thing is, like, I actually, when it comes to the news infrastructure at NPR, I'm not an expert on it, but we have a station rep where I can say, hey, this was on Morning Edition or this was on one of the newscasts and I have a listener who's concerned about it. He will make sure that the right editor or reporter sees it. So you can always write me.
So I would write you and you would forward it to that person?
Exactly.
And I was just curious, what was the call letters of your station in 1975 when I first started listening?
I believe it would have been, it was 91. What were the call letters?
Yeah,
KALW.
Oh, it was the same.
Yep.
And then, so I have your email address. Do you have a general email address for Rose?
Rose@yourcallradio.org.
Okay, thanks a million.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Let's go next. Oh, we just talked to Ray, right? Who do we have next? All right, we have an anonymous caller. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm going to turn off my radio.
Sure.
I do listen in spite of the name that Jessica...
I know who's calling. You may be anonymous, but I know who you are.
Okay, I'm
which
sure
is
you
totally
do.
Fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Hi.
Well, I have a theater background. The radio is an audio medium, and she is over the top. So I agree. Every time she comes on, I balk. I even turn it off. But I don't stop listening to KALW. So I don't really appreciate that woman's attitude about, what's his name, Michael Patrick?
Well, I think she's saying, I mean, she's saying you take the good and the bad.
He can have his opinion.
Of course.
I can have my opinion,
yeah.
Okay? And I agree, and it's and I'm sure there are others who feel that way too when she comes on.
This is why I brought Michael Patrick's idea onto the air. I want people to be able to tell me what they think.
I feel less alone.
Right.
So I don't know. I thought maybe it was a gender thing too, because very often women think they have to do that sort of thing. They have to put kind of a turn or a lilt in their voice where it's, you know, to be more acceptable or to be more attractive. So that, you know, if she just do it straight, there are some other women who just do it straight, and there are men with good voices who do it, that are NPR voices, but she is, I agree, a standout, and it's unnecessary the way she does it. It's a distraction. So I appreciate you as station manager. I'm always nervous when I go on the radio.
Oh, I appreciate you taking the opportunity.
So, and I appreciate this time, and I really, I miss Michael Feldman. I think he's truly a funny man.
Yeah.
He's a funny person. Very warm. I am from Minnesota originally, but I don't agree with a lot of the animal stuff when he talks about animals, just like Garrison Keillor, and it's derogatory, and, you know, if you don't have anything else to speak about, it's always animals you can point at. And the whole kind of, there is a redneck quality about the, you know, Minnesota and
I never thought, I mean, I'm not disputing what you said. I never thought of Michael Feldman as a redneck, though, I'll say that.
No, but there's some sort of culture there. That, no, I don't think of him as a redneck either.
Yeah.
But there's some sort of stuff that they get into that's, I don't agree with it, but I think he's really funny.
He's, yeah.
And,
like funny people, sometimes they go places you might not. I want to let other folks get on, but I really appreciate you calling.
Okay, thanks.
You're listening to the Manager's Report to the listeners. I'm Matt Martin, station manager here at KALW. Every once in a while, I come on the air and open the lines to you to talk about what is going on at the station, and then hearing your ideas about what we're doing, what we could be doing, what we could be doing better. And this is kind of a special manager's report because a week from tomorrow will be KALW's 75th birthday, marking the day 75 years ago when this station went on the air as the first FM station in San Francisco and actually the first FM station west of the Mississippi. So that's a bit of broadcasting history, and this community has kept it going all this time. We're going to be going for about another 10 minutes here on the show. If you'd like to join the conversation, give me your input, ask your questions. The number to call, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. You can also email me at matt@kalw.org. We got an email from Sergio who says, I got into KALW as a freshman at John O'Connell Technical High School. It was the reason I became a photographer and a loyal listener. I just wish that driving home to Walnut Creek, I wouldn't lose the signal at the best part of whatever show is on. Thank you. Thank you, Sergio. That's really, it's cool hearing like how people have connected at different points to the station. So, you know, if you're someone who has a story about when you connected with KALW, I'd love it if you'd drop me a line, matt@kalw.org. That's matt@kalw.org. Or call 415-841-4134. Our next caller, I believe, is Judy. Judy, welcome to the Manager's Report.
Oh, thank you, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
The station. My question concerns your early morning announcer, and I love Kevin Vance.
Yep.
And I'm wondering if you have chosen either Kevin or somebody else to be the permanent announcer.
Thank you very much for thank you very much for asking about that. I actually had meant to talk about that in my remarks, but I was running. I'd yapped for long enough, I felt, but of course I'm really glad that you asked. So Kevin has been an amazing person stepping in when Joe Burke stepped away. And the last time that I was on the air in April, my plan at that time was to try to get a hire of a permanent person in that position before September. I have not done that. We've just had a lot of things coming down the pike that have made it so I have not gotten that job posted yet. And honestly, the heat has been taken a little off of me by the fact that Kevin has done a really good job stepping in. But we are still going to be doing a process because it's just such an important position to open up and make sure we get somebody who's, you know, up to that job, which is such an important position at the station.
Well, great. That's good to hear. How long does the process take? You have any idea?
I would think that would probably be about, I would think it would be about a 2-month process.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, because you want to kind of do a broad search and you know, you really want to, yeah. This is one of those hiring on-air talent that people are going to be hearing for years to come. That's something you want to take your time with. So that's be my estimate.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And again, happy birthday to the station.
Thanks, Judy.
It's a fabulous station. I enjoy it every single day.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
So, Joanne, who's up next? Next is Milena. Milena, welcome to the Manager's Report.
Hi, thank you. Happy birthday.
Woo!
I just wanted to say I moved to California in the 70s and first heard KALW, and I've moved away and I'm back. And I love the local programming. You have such rich, diverse, as I said, local people on, and I actually like the woman who announces. There was a person there at one point who was before her, who was kind of grated on the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it sounds like she's having fun. And then the final thing is. Is there anything that, in terms of the future, that you would ask for us from the community to support, in addition to financial, obviously, but anything else?
You know, right now we're launching a lot of things around the station that are really about listeners informing our reporting, whether it's through this Hey Area project that we've launched or this new community reporting project around the elections. To me, what we want to have is people contributing ideas to the station that really and giving you channels to do that so that we're staying in touch with what's going on in the community. And, I mean, of course, that can go just to the point of like, hey, here's a great band or an art show that you need to know about and give publicity. And it can also be like, oh, you know, hey, here's something happening at City Hall that you need to know about. To me, that to me is like, I've just seen the reporting that's already come out of the Hay Area Project, and I've been like, oh, those are like, news judgment is not only held by journalists, right? People in the community have questions they want answered, and to me, that'd be one thing I would say. It's probably many things, but that'd be my immediate response.
Okay, great.
Right on. Thank you, Melina.
Thank you. Take care.
And let's go next to Jan. Jan, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much. I so much appreciate your being there for this review. I really appreciate the Rose Aguilar, and I agree with the other callers about Kevin Vance. I really appreciate hearing him, and I do love to listen to the alternative radio program you have,
mm-hmm.
The Garrison Keillor Poetry in the Morning. I wish there were two segments of that, but I really do appreciate that. And the West Coast Live with Sidge Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
And I really miss Michael Feldman as well, the other callers, and I don't know what's happening with Sedge's timing and program there, too. So anyway, I thank you for all your work, and I appreciate the programming.
Hey, you're very welcome. Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Alan. Welcome to the Manager's Report.
Hi, Matt. I'm getting feedback over my phone.
You sound fine.
Anyway, yeah, I have one suggestion. Often programs take a lot of experts and people that are well known, but there's tons of people in the community who are not, quote, experts at something, but have ideas, have observations, have a sense of things that need to be looked at. It would be nice if you had a program on occasion where somebody moderated it and invited anybody in the community to present a brief idea that they might have.
So kind of a, I'm just trying to imagine. So if, say that I used to be a producer, so I think about, oh, how you'd actually do that. So that, I mean, you just put an open, your idea is just an open invitation, and somebody
right.
says, hey, I'm so-and-so, I want to talk about X, and there's just an open forum for that.
Yeah, something along that line. Because too often, radio and television and newspapers rely on experts, but there's lots of people who have information, good solid information, that's not widely known because they're not the quotable expert.
Mm-hmm.
Examples are often, in my experience, in technology. A lot of what is presented about information security is not right. I'm a retired information security analyst.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of annoying to listen to these things, and nobody ever comes out with the stuff that somebody's another point of view from somebody who actually works in the field or just has an idea about things. For example, I ran into there's a crisis text line, and it was actually the woman was interviewed, but there's got to be other interviewed on KLW.
Yeah.
But there's got to be other things like that in the community that need to be presented that could help people. That's the kind of thing that I think, you know, if it was an hour a month and you had three or four people, five people on with a good moderator.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't go crazy, because I know that there are crazy people up there.
I'm glad that you recognize that. That's good to know. But no, I understand what you mean, like that media tends to go to the same people over and over again, and whatever they've heard something on another radio station, they go, oh, that person was good on there. Let's get them on our program. So I do understand that trap. So thinking about how we stay open to the kind of community expertise that's of a different variety, I think is what you're saying. I mean, these are people who have expertise.
Yeah, they have knowledge, they have expertise, they have experience, personal experience with doing something. That's, you know, it's significant, but it's not easily found out by everyone.
Alan, I'm gonna have to let you go because you are our last caller on the program. I really appreciate you taking time to call.
Oh, I appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Take care. I want to read one last email that came in from Fred Lipschultz, who's a great volunteer in the station. He says, congrats to KALW, all at KALW, for 75 wonderful years. It's an honor and most gratifying to be associated with the station as a listener, supporter, and volunteer. And he says, it occurs to me that KALW could be heard in distinct locations back in the 1940s. The reason was that the FM broadcast was originally in the 6-meter part of the spectrum, 41.2 to 50.4 megahertz, and the FM band moved to its current location in 1945. I should say Fred is a physicist, so he understands why that might actually work, so I'll have to get a deeper explanation the next time I see him. I am Matt Martin, general manager of KALW. I want to thank everyone who got in touch during this hour. If you wrote and I was not able to respond to your message on the air, and I see there are a bunch of emails that have come in, I'll do my best to get back to you by this time tomorrow. I want to thank Joanne Marr, who's at the controls, and if you'd like to listen back to this program or share it with others, the audio will be posted within the next hour at KALW.org. Finally, a thanks to the many people who have generously given to KALW time, talent, money for many, many years. This station is a river, and you have truly kept it flowing. Thanks very much.